Straight into our first interview now, and joining me on the couch this afternoon is a woman who's lived a life so remarkable, it's like a movie. Kelly Elder, who lives in Switzerland, has written a memoir called The 14th Wife, A Search for Belonging, and it is absolutely compelling. I'm sure that it will soon be a movie. The back of the book states what to do, where to go, who to turn to when all-destroying loss makes you a stranger to yourself. From the London club scene to the dark heart of a New Mexican cult, this stunning memoir takes you deep inside the weirdness and recklessness of grief. It's a great privilege and honor to have Kelly on the line with us now. Kelly, I'm grateful that through a mutual friend, I was fortunate enough to get my hands on your book. Before we begin, what are your links and ties to South Africa?
Hi, Amy. Myself and my husband, we actually came on holiday to Cape Town about 15 years ago and fell in love with the place, and then ended up buying a property there about 10 years ago. So we've been in and out of the country since. So we spend a lot of time there.
Okay, good. So we can call you part South African then.
Yes, absolutely. We've got residency there. We have residency there. So we feel part South African. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you've put out this unbelievable book, and I'm sure that writing this memoir was therapeutic for you, but your intention was more to leave a legacy for your daughter, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Having lost my own mother when I was about 24, I felt the need when my daughter was about 3 to write down my history for my daughter. I had so many questions as a young adult that I wanted to ask my mum, and she wasn't around. So I didn't want my daughter to be in the same position. I wanted to put my life history down for her so that when she's a young adult, she had these answers. And should I be gone before she grew up, that she would have this history recorded for her, absolutely.
Kelly, talk to us about your early life as you believed it to be.
Actually, I had a really privileged young life. I grew up in the southern counties of England in an area called Surrey, and I had two really loving parents, and we had a really, from what the outside looked like, a charmed life. My parents were popular and social. We had enough money to go to good schools, and we had a really lovely life. But it all started to go wrong when, in my late teens, it became apparent that my father was having extramarital affairs, and my mother and father split. And that's when things started to go wrong, and my father started to get sick. And that's when it became apparent that he was sick from AIDS, and that's when things started to go wrong.
It's just the first of many tragedies that you then encountered, wasn't it?
Actually, when we found out my father was sick, it was actually the time I didn't know he was, we didn't know he was actually sick from AIDS. We were initially told by my mother that he was actually sick with cancer. It was a big family secret. She hadn't wanted to tell my sister and I that he was sick from AIDS. She wanted to protect us, so she had told us that he was sick with bowel cancer. And my sister and I only found out that he was actually sick with AIDS after the last time we saw him. So he was actually on his deathbed by the time we found out that he was actually sick with AIDS. And at this time, we found out that our mother had also been infected with HIV too from his extramarital affairs.
If you're just tuning in, I'm in conversation with Kelly Elder. She's written a memoir called The 14th Wife, A Search for Belonging. It's an absolutely compelling book about her life. Kelly, you say in the book that once your mum told you that your dad actually had AIDS, you felt so remorseful for having been so hard on her.
During the time up until then, I hadn't known what was going on. She had kept the secret for so long to herself. So I had been pretty much a moody young woman. I hadn't known what was going on. She had been suffering with this knowledge for pretty much about 2 years, I reckon, with her dad having left the household. And she had been carrying this huge secret around with her for probably, yeah, about 2 years, and not wanting to tell my sister and I the truth about what was happening. So she had been, yeah, suffering actually some kind of mental breakdown, and I didn't know what was going on. I just thought she was moody because Dad had left, and she had actually moved her new boyfriend into the house, which I was, you know, distraught about. I was in the dark. I didn't know what was going on. I was, you know, I wasn't a teenager anymore. I was in my 20s, but I was moody and stroppy. And then, of course, when I found out the truth, I was so remorseful. I was like, oh, Mom, now I know what's going on. And I just felt like a complete idiot and, yeah, full of remorse. And I was like, why, Mom, didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me earlier? I would have understood, but she had wanted to protect us, of course.
So, and then you went on to lose your mum, of course, and then lose a very strong love affair that you had with its own challenges. And then that all saw you ending up in the clutches of John Two-Birds. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so after my dad passed away, my mum died 3 years later. So we got through that. And then, of course, losing both parents, you're left with this massive hole in your life. But I went straight into a relationship. I fell in love with this boy. It was my first love, and fell deeply, deeply in love, and kind of put my grief to one side and was bamboozled by this boy, and spent the next 2.5 years partying. I was in my mid-20s, taking recreational drugs and having a really nice time, but not dealing with my grief at all. So when that relationship came to a natural end after 2.5 years, then all hell broke loose, because I just fell into this deep, deep pit of despair, because not only then did the loss of that relationship come crashing down on me, but then the loss of my parents and the life I had before came crashing down on me at once as well. So that's when I really, really fell into a pit and suffered from a huge amount of depression and loneliness. And that's when John Two-Birds came along, and I met him through a friend who took me to one of his talks. And at that time, I was just so lonely and depressed and looking for any way out of what I was feeling. I was feeling so lonely, and I was looking for anything that could take me out of this feeling, and looking for a new way of life or a new sense of belonging. And this man shone his light on me, and I thought, oh, okay, maybe this could be something. He was offering me a new way of life. He was offering me a new family.
I'm in conversation with Kelly Elder. She's written a memoir called The 14th Wife, A Search for Belonging. It's her story about becoming the 14th wife to a man called John Two Birds in a cult in New Mexico. After growing up in a privileged and happy household in England, Kelly, you describe your wedding night in the book in great detail, which it made me shudder.
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, excuse me, after about 6-7 months of courting me in the UK and drawing me closer into his tribe, he convinced me to travel to New Mexico with him for this month-long apprenticeship program. But I knew as soon as I went there, I would have to marry him. I knew that was the deal. And I wasn't forced to go, but something drew me there, and so I went. I felt as if there was nothing for me in the UK. I didn't have a boyfriend. I was temping and doing. I was a massage therapist at the time, but I wasn't really enjoying that. I didn't really feel there was anything for me in the UK, so I just packed my bags and I went, and I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my sister. I just went, and I arrived, and he picked me up at the airport, and he turned around and said to me, "Oh, so are we going to pick up some drinks because there's going to be a wedding tonight?" And I looked at him and I was like, What? I've only just arrived. I don't want to marry you right away." And I was so shocked. And I was like, "Can we at least get married tomorrow?" And he was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, we can get married tomorrow." It was like throwing me in at the deep end. So yeah, the next day we got married.
Wow.
And that was it.
And then you lived in this cult with him and the other 13 wives. And Kelly, what eventually prompted your escape, and how did you execute it?
Well, I wasn't under lock and key there. I went into the marriage thinking, okay, this is my new life. But after a while, I began to see that this wasn't the place for me. I began to become suspicious of John, and I didn't like some of the things I was seeing within the compound that were going on there. And I was torn. I was really torn about my time there. Some part of me was saying, "Come on, stay. This is a family. You are loved here. You've got sisters here. You're part of something," but then something was also deeply disturbed inside me saying, "No, this is wrong." But at the end of the day, it was coming back to those feelings of connection with my mother and my deep roots with my family, and that's what pulled me out in the end. So in the end I just decided to book a flight home, and I mean, of course, he wanted me to stay, but I wasn't under lock and key. I was allowed to go. Mm. And I didn't know what I was going back to. I had, I didn't have a home. I was renting a small room in a loft in a friend's house. I was going back to nothing, but I decided to go anyway. But I still went back as his wife. He had wives living overseas. It wasn't as though I got divorced. I still went back as his wife abroad. So it didn't separate from him. I just went as his wife, but overseas. Mm.
And then fast forward a long time, you've subsequently gone on to remarry and have a happy life and have a daughter. Whatever became of John Two Birds and his cult?
When I got back to the UK, after a while, I just lost contact. There was letters and a bit of communication, but I began to become very resentful of the whole association, and it dropped away, and I lost contact with everyone. And then in 2010, I received a phone call from one of the wives and informing me that he had passed away. And And as far as I know, I've had a little contact with some of his wives, but the association that's called Paramata, his tribe of people, no longer exists. He has about 6 or 7 children, but there's no tribe of people anymore. I think the wives still communicate with each other, but as far as I know, there's no tribe surrounding him anymore.
Your story is honest, Zinkeli. I could talk to you about it all afternoon, but unfortunately we are out of time. For people intrigued as I am, where can they get their hands on the book?
So you can, in South Africa, you can download it on Kindle, on Amazon. And then I do have hard copies, paperback copies, at the Wild Door on Pepper Street, which is off Bree Street in town.
And how much does it cost, Kelly?
I think it's about 350 rand on the paperback. And on Kindle, I think it's about rand on Kindle.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today, and I hope that you'll be back on South Africa's shores soon.
Yes, I hope so too. Thanks for talking to me, Amy.
All the best. That E. Alder, she's written a memoir called The 14th Wife, A Search for Belonging. It's a story. You see things like this in the movies, but you don't know many people that marry into a cult and become one of 14 wives. Get your hands on a copy of the book. As Kelly said, you can download it on Amazon Kindle, or it's available at that Wild Olive perfume store on, I think she said, Pepper Street.